Today on Being Disciples, my moral of the story: dreams. One way of hearing God is through a dream. This, for me, was a unique series of dreams. My co-host, Garrett Berge, and I will discuss each of the items as we go through the list.
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 52, my moral of the story: dreams. One way of hearing God is through a dream. A long time ago, this, for me, was a unique series of dreams. Perhaps they will guide you as they have me. There were 23 short dreams with a very direct message, and I believe these were back in 2016. I'm just going to run through the list of titles and then we'll take a look at them. Number one, don't be controlling or pushy. You can't be who you are meant to be when doing that. Guard the tongue, whether good or bad. Do the right things. Look for the good in everyone and everything. Things aren't always as they appear. That's judging cautions. Continual repentance, it is freeing. Patience, a state of calmness. Handle every one with care. Love-based relationships, not performance-based. Beware of or watch for snares, especially for known weaknesses. No gimmickry or deception. Do not flirt with evil, supposing you are doing a good thing. Patience until understanding is realized. Continue working even through distractions. Don't be gullible. Act with authority and high position. Access information and favor through the spiritual gifts of others when possible or necessary. Curb the gluttony. Bless in love and do not curse. There is nothing above being honorable, man of honor, righteousness. Here to serve and to lead others into service. There is power in the lightest breath, in the name of Jesus. Intimacy with more than one, I have a two in parentheses, is one too many. God is more than enough to satisfy. So those are the 23 titles, and the number 23 represents death and resurrection life. So this is to bring death to the old ways of thinking, death, and to act in the ways of God, life. Now, I've been unable to find where I may have recorded the actual dreams, but I did find this list in one of my notebooks. I believe the dreams were all before August of 2016. The ministry I was called to in Anoka began in September of 2015. I recall these dreams were in the beginning of my ministry as guidelines of sorts. While I have found no written record of the individual dreams, at least not that I have found yet, I do remember that each of these were very short and took place just before I woke up in the morning. They came to me every other day, for the most part, from the beginning to the end of the list. Each dream had a very specific message that was clear to me, which I immediately realized upon waking up. There was no need to labor to figure out the meanings of the dreams. So set your imagination free with time to contemplate each title. seek insight from Holy Spirit on how to apply it to your life. Hopefully, I may recall at least some parts of the original dreams. With enough review of my many notebooks, I may even find some of them written down. I vividly remember the first of the dreams, Don't Be Controlling. In this dream, I was dancing with a woman, as at a function like a wedding. That was the style, ballroom dancing, though it was just the two of us and everything else was white. I did not hear any music while dancing. The dance was a struggle as the woman continuously tried to lead, and I was wrestling against it. I knew who the woman was and that she was trying to manipulate me, both in this dream and in life. At one point, as I struggled, she twirled away from me and then spun back in, but on the return spin, it was no longer her. I sensed it was the eyes of Jesus peering into my soul. The message I received at that point was, don't be controlling, pushy. You can't be who you are meant to be when doing that. Reflecting on the dream through the day, I realized that as I focused on this small battle, my energy was being spent quickly and I was not focused on the big picture of what I was called to do. That fight was the Lord's, not mine. I cannot allow others to control my actions by involving me in the fight they wish to have with me. I need to maintain my focus on Christ Jesus, my Lord. I need to act in humility. The verse I had written down for this was Leviticus chapter 25, verse 17. You shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. And the phrase shall not wrong is Strong's Hebrew 32:38, to oppress, maltreat, perhaps suppress. So I'm going to invite Garrett in now. Garrett and I are going to go through this list together rather than having the conversation at the end. Because of the length of this list, we'll just have a quick chat and move on.
Yeah.
So welcome, Garrett. Good morning. Good afternoon, hey. Wherever we are.
Wherever we are. Yeah. No, I'm glad to be back. It's been a while, Johnny. I like this list of dreams that you've gone through. I totally can identify pretty much with every one of these that you're suggesting.
So what do you think of don't be controlling?
For me, I take it don't be controlling in the way I go about sharing Christ per se. But then you kind of help me understand and take a step back too and go, well, how do I do that? Like you're within relationships is what I got from you. And it's like, whether it's with a significant other or family members or other people out in town and I just totally understand that you don't want to be controlling or pushy about.
Sometimes we just have to leave the battle to the Lord.
Well, you do. And that's easier said than done sometimes because we as humans like to pick it up and wrestle. And yeah. we want to fix things a lot of times.
But that does get tiring.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? We don't have to do it. If you give it up to him, you let him wrestle and fight with it. Yeah. I can be freed up to do more important things that he's called me to do.
Yep. Our burden is supposed to be light.
Yeah.
The Lord can take care of it. So the next one, The dream, guard the tongue. James speaks to taming the tongue mainly from avoiding wrongful speech and unrighteousness. The message I received was guard the tongue, whether good or bad. Even with good and proper speech, timing and delivery may affect the hearer. So being slow to speak is good advice. In James chapter 1, 19-20, we read, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then again in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 7-10, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who were made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So guard the tongue, and it's interesting that the message I got was whether for good or evil. You know, we like to look at just the evil and controlling our tongue, but sometimes in the good, need to follow the leading of the Spirit of what to say and what not to say.
And that sometimes that's even harder. I know when it comes to this for me, one of the things is with my dad or even sometimes with Amy, when I do some of my inspirational comedy, I like to call it, I use foul language. And okay, and a lot of times I write it off as going, okay, I can repent and go from there. But really, I'm not supposed to be doing it to begin with. And I do catch myself where it's like, okay. And part of my humor, I think, and well, it's right or wrong, it's not right in God's eyes. So I have a hard time with watching my tongue in regards to that exact problem.
That brings up an interesting point, because I had people praying over me, prophetic prayer over me one day, and the guy that was praying at the moment said, John, you have a good sense of humor. The Lord likes it. But the self-deprecating humor has to stop, because you're saying untrue things. Those are not you. So I had to learn to not do that anymore. And it became gone from my repertoire.
It's hard, but I've got to just keep seeking God in that. And every time it comes into my mind, instead of letting it out, is turn and grab that scripture thought and then, or just stop, because you can. And he gives you the ability to do that through all things. Comes down to being a choice. Why do I do it? Well, I choose to do it because I know, in regards to my dad, I know my dad's going to respond with laughter if I say it a certain way, or if I use this certain phrasing or that. So yeah, okay. It's not right.
So the next dream, do the right things. Sometimes the correct decision may be to do nothing. Being in tune with God, his will, and the mind of Christ is where we need to learn to be as disciples who co-labor with God for the kingdom of heaven. The message I received was, do the right things. We are to turn from evil toward God and righteousness. Psalms 34:14 reads, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We are to do what is for the good of others. Isaiah in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's case. So what if we don't do the right thing? Not doing the wrong thing, but doing nothing when we should do something. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin, it says in James 4:17. So do the right things.
I know the feeling of that, of doing nothing and then knowing that I should be out doing something on God's playing field in particular. If, you know, he calls you to do something and you don't do it, you're in the wrong, at least in my mindset, or at least I feel that way. And then I usually feel convicted about not doing it. And then you go, okay, what do I got to do? Sometimes it's just stepping out. Sometimes it's just, you know, picking up the ball and running, or it's visiting a neighbor and then asking them their needs. I've had that trouble with learning some of the divine healing stuff. But once I started going over and praying over people, it becomes more and more, and you see changes and you see growth, and that helps motivate.
Yeah, I had this issue at our fire pit worship the other night. Someone that was at the pit was talking about a pain in the elbow, and I listened to the complaint, never offered to pray. I thought about it for a second, but they kept talking. I let it go, evidently. Laying in bed that night, all of a sudden it came back to me, and I was repenting for having not stepped out in faith and having prayed.
It happens. Yeah. It happens to us all.
Yeah. So hopefully a lesson learned. So yeah. The next dream, look for the good in everyone and everything. This is the essence of love, looking for good in people and things and doing righteous works. The message I received was, look for the good in everyone and everything. So I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. Paul writes, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I don't know that my love for others is that positive. I think I need to increase my positive attitude in this role.
And I think we all can, because I'm in that same mindset. It's when you see this verse, you usually hear it in the wedding type venue setting. And actually, right, it applies to everybody. You know, if you really think about it, whatever relationship you're in, and it's not always easy. Like me, I want to go out and I want to think about every day every person I come across, I want to at least say something to. Not that I always do, but I'm trying to be more in that thought process to be good to everyone and just say, you know, have a great day, whatever, because I don't know what that person's going through. But if I have that dialogue, I'm hopefully going to make their day better if I spread that positivity.
And that verse certainly has a list of selfish attitudes to overcome. So,
yeah, indeed.
Plenty there for us to deal with. So the next dream, things aren't always as they appear. Discernment is among the most important things for a disciple to learn. Our eyes see a snapshot in time. Our ears hear one part of a story and not always the truth. We need to discern the truth as God sees it. The message I received was, things aren't always as they appear. This was a caution in judging things. Isaiah 11, verses 3b to 4a, and this is talking about the Messiah, says, he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Now, Jesus is our example, and if he's doing that, we need to ask God how we should judge things if we need to.
Oh, indeed. And this is something we need to do more of, whether it's judging people or judging a reaction to what you need to be doing or all those type of things.
This is actually good to keep in mind. Things aren't always as they appear. So when I see something, I want to get judgmental about it. I got to ask myself, what did that person go through today? Or what's the lifestyle? Or what's, you know, something that's affecting this? Why is it not judging them for being that way or whatever?
Well, and when you're talking to somebody, you know, or you're listening to somebody and you know them very well, they're whatever, and they're telling you a story, but you know their whole background. So you've got to take it with a grain of salt kind of thing. Not judge them from what they're telling you, but be thoughtful and go, okay, what truth in there is truth? And what is story or exaggeration, and that discernment part.
What's the rest of the story?
Yeah, exactly.
So next dream, I like this one. Continual repentance is freeing. With sinfulness comes guilt and anxiety. There is freedom and forgiveness that comes from repentance. We are not yet free from the sinful flesh and the world. So continual repentance is the remedy to remain free from the pains of guilt that follow sin. The message I received was continual repentance. It is freeing. And again, Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, as it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So Paul kind of puts it right on point there.
Yeah, and I have to agree that if you're doing it and repenting, I try to do this all the time as well, because I realize then I can free myself up to continue doing my day, and it actually helps reduce my stress level, believe it or not. It's a kind of meditative thing to me. You know, I don't know what you think about that, John, but that's how I feel about it.
It's definitely freeing for you then, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
So the next dream, patience, state of calmness. Patience and calmness go together. In times of stress or trouble, it is comforting to others to see the believer with self-control. It may become an opportunity to share one's faith with someone who has yet to believe. It is a testimony to the believer's trust in Christ. This is one area where one's faith is put on display. Patience also goes with steadfastness or perseverance. It is difficult for one to go the distance without patience. The message I received was patience, state of calmness. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, I believe this is where Jesus was telling the parable of the sower of the seed. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. I know in the ministry I do, there's a lot of patience needed. And the more patience I exhibit, the kinder I appear to be, the more I hear from the Word of God or from the Holy Spirit, and the more effective ministry seems to be.
I've seen that from this side with you, and I couldn't concur more on how you describe that, John, because you live that way. And when people come into play, it isn't always easy to be calm and work through some of the things, or to be able to listen. And popping back to the judgment one a minute is, we might hear them and then we have a judgment that pops into our head, or we have something we want to say and we don't take the time to be slow and calm to let their whole thought get through before our brain starts with a thought.
So one year when our kids were younger, we were going on vacation, heading out to Michigan like we do to visit my brother and let them play with their cousins. And living in Minnesota here, we got to about an hour inside of Wisconsin on our way towards Chicago to go up to Michigan. And the engine blew up on the car. Ooh. Just went totally kaput. That would have been a time that I could have been railing and upset, but I made a conscious decision to stay calm and trust the Lord that whatever happens, you know, we'll deal with it. And afterwards, I was able to use it for a learning experience for my children and ask them, what did you see? Did you see a lunatic raving out of control, or did you see someone calm and collected and in control? Hmm. And they admitted they saw someone that was in charge, in control, calm, just doing what needed to be done. So that was a good lesson for them to visually see.
And I think you and I both have had different scenarios where that has come into play for us in our lives.
So this next one is an important one. This one made an impact on me. I wish I could remember the whole dream, but the title is Handle Every One with Care. Jesus loves his lambs and will not tolerate others who do them harm. This dream, as I recall, stressed the individuality of every person and that not one of them was to be harmed by me. The message I received was, handle everyone with care. There was, as I recall, a play on words, everyone and every one. This would be the totality of those to whom I minister, as well as each person as an individual deserving care. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 42, I believe this is Jesus speaking. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And not only those who believe in him, but I also believe those who are coming to him. Every person is deserving of love and proper treatment. Whereas we are to care first and foremost for those who are in the body, I believe we would do well in the sight of God to also treat others in the love of God flowing through us. These verses speak to loving fellow believers. I believe our love needs to flow beyond our circles to those who are looking on, as they may be evaluating whether or not they should believe. In Romans chapter 13, we see Paul writes in verses 8 through 10, "Owe to no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And we've looked at that in other places, but this one specifically talking about loving one another to treat them well and not do damage, not do harm.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm always in that mindset to think of that all the time. Just being there to care. I mean, we have a neighbor of ours she's on death's door, basically, and she knows it. And she said, I'm just looking out the back. She told me this the other day. She goes, I'm looking out the back door through the screen door, and I'm ready to take Jesus' hand when he's ready to take me and walk up the road. And we're finding ourselves spending more time with her, going over, knocking on the door, make sure. Just making sure her care is taken care of. And then we find out that there's more people within the building who come down to her place too, because we all kind of become family and we're caring for each other.
Nice.
It's cool how God does what he wants us to do and brings us together, and then now we can care.
Well, that kind of segues right into the next dream, love-based relationships. So relationships among believers are to be love-based, not performance-based. We are all equal in that we were all sinners in need of a Savior, and Christ Jesus, our Savior, loves each one of us. We all come into the kingdom the same way, by grace through faith. We all repent and surrender to Christ as Lord. The example is set by God as he loves us because we are his creation, not because of what we have done. The message I received was love-based relationships, not performance-based. This takes all judgment out of my hands, as I am simply to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord first and foremost. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." A great demonstration of love. Not only did he create us, but after we failed, he sent a Savior, his own Son.
Mm-hmm. And boy, are we blessed to have that.
The ultimate love-based relationship.
For sure.
The next dream, beware of snares. Our enemy, the devil and his minions, would love to lead us into a snare. That's something that lures or entangles those who are unaware of what's going on around them. So trapping us in sin will paralyze us in guilt, thereby crippling our efforts in the kingdom of heaven. The guilt causes us to feel unworthy of co-laboring with God. We need to be aware of our own weaknesses and shortcomings, for that is the first strike point of the enemy in this war. The message I received was, beware of, watch for snares, especially for known weaknesses. Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So we must remain in prayer and under the protection of the Lord. In Psalms chapter 141, verse 9, we read, "Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me and from the snares of the evildoers." In this country, the USA, wealth is a snare for many, waiting to entrap us. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." So we got to be aware of what the enemy wants to do to trap us, don't we?
Oh, heck yeah. And there's lots of little things depending on who we are, and he knows our weaknesses. So it's being mindful of your known weaknesses and then being able to counter that and be able to utilize God's word to move forward so that you don't fall prey.
Yeah, this word Peter uses, be sober-minded, be watchful. It's properly evaluating, honestly evaluating ourselves, and we can see where our shortcomings are.
Indeed.
The next dream, no gimmickry. Manipulations and cons have no place in the Christian life and behavior. Manipulation and gimmickry come from a point of selfishness, deeming oneself more important than another person and more deserving of whatever they have that we are attempting to take from the person. It begins with covetousness and ultimately becomes deception and theft as we operate from impure motives. The message I received was no gimmickry, deception. In Psalms 34:13, we read, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9a, "To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud, even your own brothers. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" So there's a stark warning for us not to be fraudulent, not to be deceptive, not to use gimmicks and manipulation, because there is no spot in the kingdom for the unrighteous.
Well, I think we've all been have somebody try to manipulate or con us in our lives, and it's not something that feels good. And the Christian life is opposite of that, and you just got to keep living it the right way.
Let's stop here just for a second. Garrett, will you please give us the reminders of where to find the notes and everything corresponding with this study?
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study.
Okay, thanks for that reminder, Garrett. Let's keep moving through this list. We're about halfway through. The next dream is, do not flirt with evil. Sometimes we play a little too close to the edges where one may fall or stumble to a place one would rather not be. Flirting with the boundaries can be harmful, in the end, to oneself or to others. This could be sexual in nature, but not only that type of behavior. There could be times where one gets closer to someone or something evil than they should, thinking it is necessary for the sake of something good. This is a dangerous game to play. Whether associating with the wrong people or wandering down a dangerous path, discern the truth of the matter. Beware the phony who acts holy. The message I received was, do not flirt with evil, supposing you are doing a good thing. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 to 13, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So discernment is needed, or scripture and understanding are in danger of being warped by temptation. The one who wants to be considered a brother or sister in the Lord, but who still does the evil things of the past, will corrupt the faith and faithfulness of the one who chooses to go their way. The perceived good in this case may be a sense of saving their soul. This is an especially slippery slope when a believer marries someone who does not hold the same faith. Proverbs 1, verse 10 says, My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Verses 15 and 16 says, My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. So maturing in the Spirit as one follows Christ requires the setting of one's sights on the things of God, not the things of the world. John in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, we read, For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So we need discernment to know what's in the world and what's of ourselves and what's of God, and be able to discern so we're not flirting with those boundaries and flirting with evil, thinking that we're doing some type of good for someone else, because it's only going to drag us down and get us in trouble if we get too close to the fire.
Oh, I agree, and I have had the battle with some of these things myself, where it's like, okay, and then now you've got to turn back to God, repent, deal with it, and move forward, and keep my eye on that a lot. And it isn't easy.
Right. But it's something we have to learn to do. Discernment is an important thing. So the next dream, unrealized understanding. This dream included a flask, a table, and turbulence. Understanding, not yet grasped, is in a flask on the table, not being used, while the table is being knocked about in the uproar. Patience should have been allowed to carry out its work until understanding was realized. The message I received was, patience until understanding is realized. Proverbs 16:16 states, How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So this quick little dream just had the chaos going on all around, realizing the understanding was in that flask, and the table being bounced around is about the chaos. But then too quick of a reaction leaves it in the flask unused. So patience, again, we've dealt with this in one of the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. Patience is needed until we gain understanding of a situation, and then we can deal with it.
Yeah, because in a chaotic situation, until you realize and understand, yeah, you're going to have that. I like your vision of that flask just being there and then everything else around it chaotic. I think we've all lived in a moment like that.
And all we have to do is ask the Lord for wisdom and for understanding, and he'll give it.
Yeah, he sure will.
So the next dream, continue working. It is easy to be distracted these days with all that is happening in the world. The focus of the laborer in the kingdom of heaven needs to remain on the work at hand and upon the one for whom the work is being done, King Jesus. One cannot be paralyzed by the news and thoughts of the day, becoming ineffective in production, therefore becoming disobedient to the call upon one's life. The message I received was, continue working even through distractions. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, I've struggled with this one a bit before when I start listening to too much of what's going on in politics in the world and prophets saying this and another one saying that, where I do get paralyzed. And before I know it, I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. No. So that paralysis just... It's an ugly thing. Well, so the thing is to keep your nose to the grindstone. So I put it this way. I need to know my lane and stay in it. And anything that doesn't apply to it is basically a distraction. So there are exceptions to that, of course. But really, I need to focus on what I'm being called to do and be obedient.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, John. And I have a take on this a little different. Is like me, when I'm working throughout my day, I'm sitting at my computer and I have many distractions, you know, whether it's social media or an email comes up. And what am I really focused to be doing? What work is set before me that day? And little things come up like that where it grabs your attention for a minute, but you need to continue through those distractions and pull yourself back to what the main project of the day is or whatever.
Especially in working for the kingdom. Agreed. So the next dream, don't be gullible. A dream concerning the development of discernment. The message I received was, don't be gullible. To be gullible is to be easily enticed, simple, or deceived. Job 5:2 says, surely vexation kills the fool, and jealousy slays the simple. So my question is, does envy, jealousy, and covetousness create the gullibility of a person? The focus is put on the wrong things or places and deceives one and entices one into leaving the straight and narrow path, traveling down the wide path that leads to destruction. In Proverbs 14, verses 14 through 16, we read, the backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. So I see that we need to be deliberate about what we do and make sure that we're thinking the matter through so we're not gullible and jumping onto the next big thing or the next big teaching, the next big seminar or whatever.
Here's the next big thing and the next, here's the new guy in town has this thing or there's this new cure or there's this new drug to take. We got to be smart about what we're doing and seek God's counsel.
Right. So the next dream, act with authority. So acting in authority is not arrogant, prideful, or boastful. Spiritual authority is a matter of position in righteousness in Christ. The message I received was act with authority and high position. Not a high position that may make one arrogant and haughty, but remembering the throne from which that authority comes, which is far above the authority of the ruler of the darkness of this world. It is a matter of position. We are to act confidently with understanding of that authority. Matthew chapter 16, 19, we see Jesus saying, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Our authority as believers does come from Christ Jesus. And you're learning that through these healing studies that you're doing and the Ecclesia study you're about to go through with our boot camp.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. And walking in that authority is actually, it helps me get through my day too, because I know I can walk in that all day long. And his guidance and protection is around me through all that.
So the next dream, access information and favor. We are to be working with other members of the body and their giftings. The message I received was access information and favor through the spiritual gifts of others when possible or necessary. One member of the body may have something another member needs at the moment. We are to depend upon one another while also supporting and encouraging one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the author writes, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So the body of Christ is in many parts, which must operate as one. We are to work together, side by side. Again, we look at 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes in chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, "For just as the body is one and has many members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So we are to join together and work for the kingdom and to build up one another to the maturity in Christ." Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, that we are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are all to come together as one, even though we're many, but we each have different gifts, we each have different talents, different skills, different knowledge levels. We need one another in order to continue to grow and to operate successfully.
Oh, we sure do. And, you know, if you think we are the body, you look at the human body, body is made up of different parts. We have cells, arms, legs, all those things come together so that we can function as a whole. The heart pumps blood, the kidneys do what they need to do. It's amazing how God made us to function and then made us to function as individual people together as the body of Christ.
So the next dream, curb the gluttony. But you don't need to think of this just as food. In all things, there is no need to get all you can. That is a form of greed. The message I received was curb the gluttony. The body does not need to be satisfied. Rather, we are to die to self, crucifying the body, developing self-control. For example, as I was walking through the kitchen on a break from developing the study, I saw the two remaining pieces of pizza we had for dinner last night. My thought was, yeah, one of those pieces would be tasty. Then I thought about the weight I've been putting on lately, which is not helping my knee issues either. I thought perhaps losing a few pounds begins with this decision. And what about dinner later when my wife gets home from work? Will I be eating yet again? I passed on the pizza, grabbed a glass of water, and got back to work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes verses 12 to 14, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." So we must maintain our focus on the goal set before us, maturing to be like Christ. We cannot look to one side or the other, worshiping idols and the things of this world and satisfying our selfish desires. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So the body and the soul need to be in subjection to the spirit, which is to be in tune with Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Romans chapter 13, verses 12 to 14, "The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So gluttony generally refers to food, but it doesn't have to be just food. Gluttony can be going after too much of something. Even if it's a good thing, it becomes a burden, it becomes bad, it starts to chain you down. So we have to use a measure of restraint.
What came to mind for me is binge watching episodes on a streaming service.
There you go.
TV, which I think almost everybody could say, hey, I've done that.
Then you have a sense of all the time that was stolen by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The other prong of that is once you're halfway through, two-thirds of the way through, you realize what you're doing, but now you've seen that much, you got to see the end of it. It's just a weakness that's inherent within us.
Well, and Satan loves that, because if you're stuck binge-watching something, you're not doing God's work and you're not working in the kingdom, and he's going, wow, look at that.
Pretty. So perhaps that goes back to knowing your shortcomings?
I think so.
Yeah, the next dream, bless and love and do not curse. In tandem with guard the tongue, we are to speak the correct things, bless and bring life. Do not curse, which brings death. Choose life. The message I received was bless and love and do not curse. We are commanded to love one another. That is only accomplished in blessing, not in cursing. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. So Paul takes it even a step further here about those who persecute you, you're supposed to bless.
That's pretty amazing too. And it can be quite hard, because sometimes when somebody does you wrong, the first thing is you want to retaliate or revenge. And it's no, instead bless them.
I don't think you can successfully do that if you're not walking with the Spirit either.
You have to agree. You have to be walking with him.
The next dream, there is nothing above being honorable. We are to be Christ-like. The message I received was, there is nothing above being honorable, man of honor, righteousness. We ought to be seen as honorable by God and by man. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, we take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. We ought also to fill our heart, our most inner being, with what is honorable. Philippians, Paul writes in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We are instructed to cleanse ourselves from anything that is dishonorable, that we may be purified for the work of God. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 to 22. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So what say you?
Yeah, being honorable. I think living in the righteousness of Christ and going out there will help you be honorable. And then you want that to be seen by others. And no, it's not always easy to live that way. But when you're in God and you're living in Christ and walking with him, I think it becomes part of your being as well. And it shows through. And I think it's another thing that God utilizes to show others that you're living this life. And if they want to go after it, you can help guide them.
So this kind of ties in with do the right things. As you see, as we're going through these, they kind of start weaving together.
It kind of forms the body of Christ.
Yeah. The next dream, here to serve and to lead. Servant leadership and discipleship. We are to serve others as part of the command to love one another and after the example of Christ Jesus. Discipleship lessons are caught from one's example as much as through one's teaching. The message I received was here to serve and to lead others into service. Is my life a good example for others to follow in serving one another? This is one of those lessons that is better caught than taught. Mark chapter 10, verse 43b through 45. Jesus says, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So I believe wholeheartedly that the leadership God wants among his people is servant leadership, to help, to prepare, to uplift, to encourage, to prepare people to do the ministry of the kingdom.
And I'm in complete agreement with you on that too, John. It very much is servant leadership. And that's something that I'm learning more and more about with you.
Well, let's continue on and learn together. This one is, there is power in the lightest breath. There is normally no need to shout or scream and make a scene when doing the work of the kingdom. The message I received was, there is power in the lightest breath in the name of Jesus. The breath of God brings life. We read in Genesis 2:7, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." The breath of God also brings judgment. In Job chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, we read, "As I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they are consumed." Once again, the lesson is, are we listening? God typically speaks quietly to believers, nurturing them into the direction they should go. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, "And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." When we hear a message from the Lord or a direction, we don't normally hear something bold and loud. It's usually that quiet whisper that we need to pay attention to.
No small voice.
And the final dream, intimacy with only one. Yahweh is a jealous God, Elkanah. We are the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. We are not to worship others or deaf idols, for that is idolatry and a spiritual adultery. The message I received was intimacy with more than one, being two or more, is one too many. God is more than enough to satisfy. Exodus 34:14, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Are there some who are double-minded, who are saying they are committed to God, but are living for the world at the same time? Purification is needed. In James chapter 4, verse 8, we're told, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Notice he didn't say to pray for purification. He says to purify it.
Purify. Go do
it's
it.
It's up to us to get ourselves straightened out, especially once we know the truth.
Yep. And that may take repentance and being in the Word and then going from there.
Tying back into all those other dreams.
You bet that is.
So my conclusion here is that the more one studies out the concepts of these dreams, the more one will learn the ways of the Lord. These studies reveal the characteristics we ought to be developing in our lives.
Exactly. I couldn't have concluded that better, John.
Well, then we'll leave it there. I think we're coming up on our time limit anyway. So thank you, Garrett, for being with me. I hope people find this interesting to look into and to meditate on. Again, let your imagination go a little bit and meditate on these things and see what the Lord shows you.
Go about it, guys, and have a great time. Until next time.
Next time on Being Disciples, we're going to begin a four-part series on the kingdom. Part one will be of heaven and of God. Are they the same? Is there a difference? What is the kingdom? So join us next time as we discover the kingdom of God on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.